We're kind of short on time this evening, so we'll try to keep things a little brief. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening and open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we prepare to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table this evening. First Corinthians chapter 11, again we'll begin at verse 23, the classic and definitive passage in looking at the Lord's table. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the music that we have heard, preparing our hearts for the preaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the missionary challenge that we have received from Karen. And Lord, for all of us, we have a mission field. Lord, whether it be here in the States, whether it be across the seas, and Lord, in either case, Lord, we all need to stay focused and focus on those people that you have brought across our path who need to hear the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that tonight we also have the opportunity to observe your table. And Lord, to remember and to identify and then to do, Lord, with what we Lord, with what we see from your word about the Lord's table. And Lord, about your going to the cross, your coming to this earth and becoming a man, taking on human flesh, and then going to the cross and paying for the penalty of our sins. And then, Lord, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then, Lord, to live a life that is faithful to him until he comes. So, Lord, I pray that tonight, again, with the brief time that we have, that, Lord, our hearts would be drawn and we'd be prepared, Lord, to participate in your table tonight. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2006, I had the privilege of going to Ghana, West Africa, for the second time on a short-term mission trip. I told some of you before that you know, if the church ever wants to have a mission trip over to Ghana, West Africa, and they want to have it like next week, I'll be the first one on the plane. But when I was over there the second time, our team, the missionary that we had, a national missionary there, he took us to a slave castle in the town of Cape Coast. And as we went there, it was what I would call a sombering privilege. As we went through and we saw the different places in the castle, from the auction hall where the men and the women were there and where they were auctioned off, and then to actually stand in the very holding cell where the men were kept, and you saw up above you a window where the food was literally thrown down to the men below. To see where they actually had troughs cut in the middle of the holding cell area for the human waste that collected to be able to go out to the sea. To be able to see where if you had an unruly slave who could not be controlled for any other reason, they would basically put them into this one room and then to shut the door, and it was airtight so that eventually they would die from a lack of oxygen. And then to eventually go, as you got toward the end of the tour and you came to this door, and it was really like a halfway door, and then they weren't even given the privilege of being allowed to walk through the door standing up. They had to go through, and the door was open halfway, and they could walk underneath the door. And they said, and they realized that when you got to that door was called the door of no return. You realized that when you went through that door, you were going to go down to the beaches, you were going to be loaded onto boats, and then you were going to be shipped away to the Caribbean, to Europe, or over to the United States to become a slave, and you were never going to return again. It was called the door of no return. And then somewhere in that slave castle, and I can't remember the exact wording, but I have it mostly right, they had a plaque. Somewhere, I believe it was, I can't remember if it was 1995 or 2000, Ghana decided that they wanted to have a ceremony to kind of deal with the issue of slavery in their country. And to kind of, in some way, put an end, you know, put a closing chapter on that part of their history. And so they brought back the remains of one of their countrymen who had been sold away into slavery by their own countrymen, and brought those remains back through the door of no return. And then they put a plaque on part of the castle, and it said something to the effect of, "In everlasting memory, may those who died find rest. May those who return find their roots. And then for our ancestors, may they never again perpetrate the horrors of slavery on mankind. To this we avow ourselves." And the reason why they had that they've left this castle up, and then the reason why they bring tours through there, and the reason why they have that plaque there, is so that people will come and people will remember what happened, identify with what happened, and then have that remembering and have that identifying impact their lives in such a way that they will do something, or in this case, not do something again. That they would remember, that they would identify, and that they would do. Now, when Christ was here on the earth, and when he went back to heaven, he didn't choose to, he didn't choose as an everlasting memorial to him to leave the place where he was born. That's a disputed idea. Exactly where was Christ born? Not the city of Bethlehem, but the actual spot. He didn't choose to leave for us any of the boats on which he sailed on the Sea of Galilee, when he calmed the Sea of Galilee, or any of the boats from which he taught from. He didn't choose to leave for us the actual cross. Although there are some people who said they've gathered pieces of the cross, and if you put all the pieces together, you would have multiple crosses. He didn't choose to leave for us his burial shroud that we could come and we could view every 10 years as it's put out for display. Nor did he even leave for us, with absolute certainty, his tomb. But instead, he left for us as an everlasting memorial, as a memorial until he comes. He left for us these two elements that we'll partake of tonight: the bread and the cup. And he left us these two elements so that we would do the same thing, just like the people in Ghana with slavery did, that they would remember, that they would identify, and because of that, they would do something. To remember, to identify, and do. And we often do these things, even in our own country. We often erect statues, memorials, headstones, buildings. We even commemorate pieces of music or writings and things. We even reserve pieces of land for that very same thing, to remember, to identify, and to do. And Christ says, "I have left a memorial of myself, the bread and the cup, so that we would remember, identify, and do." And our participation in the Lord's Supper is so that we would, in those ways, by remembering, by identifying, and by doing, that we would revive on a consistent basis, on a continual basis, while we are here, we would revive our relationship and our walk with Him. Now, just very, very quickly, again, how do we do this? First of all, if you look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Christ says, first of all, that as we participate in the Lord's Supper, it is so that we would remember. So that we would remember. Look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, verse 25, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. And what are the things that we should remember? In brief, if we were to do a brief survey of Christ's life, this is God Himself who came down and took upon Himself the flesh of mankind, took upon the flesh of His creation, and was born and lived on this earth and ministered among us, doing miracles that no one had ever seen before. Calming the storm on the sea, and the disciples said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea, they obey Him? This same Jesus who went to Lazarus' tomb, and He stood before that tomb and He said, take away the stone. I said, Lord, don't do that. He's been in the grave 4 days. He stinks. And He said, did I remind you that you would see the power of God if you would believe? And He said, Lazarus, come forth. People had never seen that before. Shocked. This same person, this same God-man, who when He went and He died on the cross, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. This same Jesus who when He was on the cross, one thief railed on Him, the other thief said, don't do that, this man has done nothing amiss. This same Jesus, this same God-man, who after He had died and the earthquake trembled the earth, then the centurion stood there and looked up and said, surely, this man was the Son of God. And why is it that we partake of these elements? So that we will remember. Remember who it is that is our Lord. Who it is that is our Master. Who it is that is our Savior. Who it is that is our God. This same Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. But not only are we to remember, but we're to also identify. We're also to identify. Again, if you look again at verse 23, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Verse 25, and after the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And even as you go over to Luke chapter 22, over in verse 20, Christ says, this is my blood which is shed for you. So He says in verse 24, my body which is broken for you, symbolized by this bread. Verse 25, this is my cup, the New Testament in my blood. And Luke 22 says, which is shed for you. The idea, folks, is this, is that as we come and as we partake of these elements, the broken bread, which symbolizes His broken body, the cup, which symbolizes His blood that is shed for us, I am a sinner deserving of all God's punishment and penalty. I am a sinner deserving of all of God's punishment and penalty. That broken body, broken for us, but Jesus has paid it all for me. His shed blood. Both the penalty, punishment, and then the payment. As we come and as we partake of these elements, it's not only to remember, but it's also to identify this one who was broken for us. This one who has shed His blood for us. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I can't remember exactly for sure, I was in between my first and second grade year. My mom, in my little hometown, it was just a little small town, and she would often send me over to the store to get, to do little errands, pick things up for things like that. And on one particular occasion, I went over to the store, and I was trying to hurry and get over because I was trying to get back home so I could watch Sesame Street and watch the koala bears. And as I was there, as I came to this road that I crossed many, many, many times before as a child, I came out from behind a parked car. As I came out from behind that parked car, all of a sudden I felt like somebody hit me in the side of the 2x4, and I remember being propelled into the air, and then I remember flying through the air and hitting my face on a windshield, sliding off, hitting the ground, and then sliding down the road. As I was laying out on the road, and I remember looking up, and I remember seeing a car some distance away. As the years go on, the car gets farther and farther away. But I remember looking up and seeing the front of a car. And I remember as I got up, I was starting to go into shock, starting to shake. And then as I was walking, this leg was hurting, and I didn't feel like I could move it. So I'm walking along shaking and dragging this leg behind me, kind of like this. And I knew I was hurt. And the words that I could get out of my mouth were, "Help me. Help me." And I remember someone taking me, laying me on the ground, and of course people came out of everywhere. But again, folks, that's where we are. That's where we are with Jesus Christ. That's where we are in our sin. Where we're coming and we don't have the ability to help ourselves. And we're coming and we say, "Help me. Help me." We identify that we are a sinner deserving of all of God's punishment, all of His penalty, and we don't have the ability to do it ourselves, but that somebody has come, Jesus Christ Himself, the God-man, He has come and on that cross has taken all that punishment, has endured that broken body, has put out His blood for us because we can't help ourselves. We're sinners deserving of all of God's punishment and penalty. But praise God, Jesus has paid it all for us. So as we come and as we come to the Lord's table, as we again look to on a continual basis, revive our walk with God, we come to these elements and we come so that we may remember and so that we may identify. And lastly, it is so that we may do something. That we may do something. Begin looking at verse 27. It talks about He gives the bread, and He gives the cup, and we're to do it in remembrance of Him because of the punishment and the penalty that He has done for us. But He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But before you come, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." There is a life to be lived beyond our salvation. We're born and we come to our point of receiving Christ as our Savior, and then God expects us to live a life of faithfulness to Him, as we've already been encouraged about tonight. It doesn't stop just with the moment of salvation. There is a life that is to be lived, a life of faithfulness that is to be lived. As you get beyond the Gospels and you get beyond the book of Romans, you have the Gospels here, here's the presentation of salvation in Jesus Christ. You get to the book of Acts, here's the expansion, here's the spread of the Gospel. You get to the book of Romans and here's the doctrinal explanation of the Gospel. And then you start into the Corinthians and you go throughout the epistles. And then here is this whole section of epistles about being faithful. Being faithful. Living out your salvation. Living that life that God has called you to now that you are saved. And then it culminates, the culmination of the Gospel in Revelation. The Lord's table, folks, it is part of God's accountability for us. It is part of God's work of progressive sanctification. That as we come, before we come, we will look at our lives and we will, as we remember and as we identify, God says, "Now, take a look at your life. I've saved you. I've redeemed you. I've given you a life that you're used for me. How are you doing at that? How are you doing at that?" Not that we're to sit there and beat ourselves up over that. And as we've been encouraged before, not so that we may not partake of the Lord's table, but the Lord says, I love you so much that in another way, if there is sin in your life, if things aren't right between you and me, that here's an opportunity for you to deal with that. Here's an opportunity for me to deal with you about that. Because I love you. Because I want things to be right with you. Between you and me. It's part of God's accountability. It's part of God's progressive sanctification for us. So as we come to the Lord's table tonight, folks, again, it's a memorial that God, that Christ Himself has given to us. It's so that we will remember who Christ is and what He's done for us, that we'll identify with that. Yes, Lord, I'm not trusting in anything else but in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone and what He did for me on the cross for my salvation. And then it's so that we'll do. We'll live that life that God wants us to live. We'll grow in those ways that He wants us to grow. When I was a boy, I remember I used to have a World Book Encyclopedia. My parents did. And one of the things I used to love to look at was a picture. There was a picture of the Lincoln Memorial with the statue and a little Cub Scout. And it showed this Cub Scout looking at Lincoln. And I read that article. I used to love that picture. And as you read in the article, it said, you know, if you stood just right, if you went to the Lincoln Memorial, if you stood just right, you could position yourself so it looks like you're looking right into Lincoln's eyes. I thought, man, I would love to do that. If ever I get to go to Washington, D.C., I'm going to do just that. I'm going to go to the Lincoln Memorial, and I'm going to position myself where I can see where I'm looking right in his eyes. So in 1988, as a junior in high school, we got to go to Washington, D.C. And so, you know, we had this certain area you couldn't go out of, you know, and there were borders. Now this is a public high school, so there were probably people that went outside of the borders. I stayed in the borders. So here I am. I'm standing at first. Now I'm at the Vietnam Memorial. And if you've been to Washington, D.C., the Lincoln Memorial is not too far from the Vietnam Memorial. And of course, I'm fascinated by that. All these names and just this wall just kept going on and on and on. And then finally, I heard a sponsor or something, time to get on the bus! Oh, no! I have not been to the Lincoln Memorial. And I waited my whole life to do this. I took off in a dead run to the Lincoln Memorial. I didn't care. I didn't care if I got in trouble. I thought, I am not going to miss going to Lincoln Memorial. I have got to go here. I have got to fulfill this, you know, dream or whatever of mine. So I remember running. I get to the steps of Lincoln Memorial. I run up the steps of Lincoln Memorial. I see the statue. And I get in there. And I finally, here I am. I'm standing in front of the statue. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to position so I can look. I'm looking around, and I see the words on the sides of the walls. I'm in the Lincoln Memorial. Now, why did we erect that? We erected that to a man. Why? Because we wanted to remember. We wanted to remember that man. We wanted to remember who he was and what he did, why he was important. And in certain ways, we wanted to be able to identify with this man. That maybe in some ways we too could reach those same kind of heights. We too could impact mankind in the way that he did. We too could do some of those good things that like he did. That we could do. That maybe in some small way we could be like Abraham Lincoln. But you know, at the end of it all, just being like Abraham Lincoln is not good enough. It's not important enough. But tonight we come to a memorial that honestly really matters. We come to a memorial tonight of our Savior. And He could have picked any way that He wanted to make a memorial. He didn't choose a painting. He didn't choose a statue. He didn't choose a piece of music. He didn't choose a building. He chose these elements. And He said, through these elements, remember me. Through these elements, identify with me, and through these elements, live your life for me. So as you participate in the Lord's table tonight, participate in it so that you may revive your walk with Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer.